This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Today's show is brought to you by French Lick Resorts, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Carroll and Stone Insurance, and Edwin Watts Golf. Now, let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning, good morning. It's great to be up early. Good morning. Wait, those are the wrong words. Hey, everybody. It's Backspin Golf. Welcome to the first tee at the Square Country Club. Why are you looking at me like that after all these years?
Square Country Club.
What, you've never heard that before?
No, it's... I forgot that's where we were at the Square Country Club
at the first tee.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to play.
<What's>... Me too. That, of course, is the voice of Perry French. Perry French. Hi, Perry French.
Good morning. Good morning.
See?
There you go.
Hi, Sean. Yeah, Sean nods. Hello.
He hasn't had enough coffee this morning. I don't think he drinks coffee.
As we're getting ready for the PGA...
Ooh, yes. Which, so good to have another major in May. Isn't that?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, this run is going to be fun. Oh. May, June, July.
Oh, baby.
You'll be spouting about how Tiger's going to win all four. And
how Tiger has already won the first two, and now he's going to Pebble, possibly to win three in a row.
As much as I would have just cringed, it would be awesome to see that happen.
Of course it would.
That would be awesome.
Of course it would. Although at some point.
It would certainly set the golf world and probably the sports world on its ear if he can get this next one.
Look what happened at the Masters.
If he gets this next one, forget it. It's over.
I forgot what I was going to say because we started talking about the Tiger again.
There
is a point where I want to see these guys that have not won a major win a major. Ricky and...
Right.
I want JT to win another one. I want Jordan to get back to winning another one. I don't want Brooks Koepka to win.
Selfishly, in the world of golf that we live in, and certainly I'm in the business of, we want those dynamics for that momentum that brings the game, the interest of the game. You don't want just some random guy winning. Again. You want the stars to be competing. You want the best players at the top of the leaderboard to make it what it is. I think. So you mentioned Ricky and that, and we talked about this at the Masters. I think there's players that are in that mode that are going to get their win. I look at Ricky as an Adam Scott-esque. You know, he's 30. Is he 30 yet? Right at 30. He's 28, 29.
Yeah.
He's getting close. I think he'll get his win or two, but he's going to probably be less than three majors.
He
might win three majors, and it might be the same one twice and another one. You know, Ernie Els, four majors, right? Two U.S. Opens, two British Opens. There's tournaments that see what... that fit that player and it comes together.
By the way, they just did a really good thing. He got a special invite to the Masters. I mean, to the U.S. Open.
For
Pebble Beach this year. Because he wouldn't have been able to qualify.
Ernie. Yeah, well, that's
And he
great.
Should. They should give guys like that invites.
Each year, there should be a player or two that gets recognized for their... accomplishments in the game of golf and contributions. And Ernie has been great. He's been
great. He has won two of them.
Right, and he has won two.
Right.
And that'll be fun to see him play. And so to me, I think he's fallen, the Ricky Fowler's fallen in that category. Certainly we thought Jordan was going to, start, he had the Tiger-esque start to his career, that he was going to start competing to compete against Tiger and Jack. And,
right.
And that could still happen. He's only 25.
I know. We keep forgetting
that. But Tiger was the same way. 19, 20, winning all those tournaments. And you think, well, that's got to continue. Well, it did, and he got to the number. I don't know if the competition was as good even 20 years ago, 15, 18 years ago, as it is now.
I don't think so either.
So the depth of field is that, so Gary Woodland out there. Oh, well, he's only won once or twice on the tour.
Yeah,
but Gary Woodland can play golf, and he can play it on a major level. He's got all the skill.
He could have four days at a major.
Those are players out there that, we're going back to New York for the PGA this year.
Beth Page.
Yes. And the last player to win there was Lucas Glover.
Who?
Who? So that you go, oh, Lucas Glover won a major. He sure did.
Yeah.
And it was a U.S. Open.
And there's a few of those kind of guys around.
You know.
Rich Beam won a PGA, for goodness sake.
Okay. But I think that there's players like Ricky and a few others that will fall in that category. Will probably get their couple of majors. Davis Love only had the one major.
Yes.
You know, as great a player as he was in competing, contending, and only get the one famous, you know, putt at the Pinehurst.
Oh, boy.
I mean, at Wingfoot, I was sitting in Pinehurst watching. That's why I said Pinehurst. Okay. It was great, though. I remember where I was when that happened.
Yeah.
That's the kind of things that, you know, when you put a victory down. Well, we remember where we were watching Tiger catch this last one at 15. And, you know, and if he gets to 16, it'll really change the dynamic. If he doesn't get this event or gets it this year, oh, my gosh, it'll be, four. But if he can get one more this year, it'll be a pretty amazing year.
I'll be very relaxed and say
you will be relaxed?
I'm going to.
All right.
I want to ask you a question. You have played golf with me. Not nearly as much as I would like, but it's because, as you like to say, you're in the middle of the 100 days of hell and in your business, and you are busy all the time during the golf season. So we don't get to play as much as I would like, but you've played with me. I've been playing golf since 1981, and it took me a long time to get to the point where I felt like I could play and pretty well.
Yeah.
Anyway. Right. After all these years, I still can't hit a good shot out of a bunker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, there's the obvious, do I spend 2 days a week hitting 100 balls out of bunkers? No, I don't. Why can't I improve?
You're falling the category where a lot of us fall in. We just don't practice that enough, number one.
Yeah, well, don't put and you in the same
thing. No, I'm the same way. Now, I will have some success relative to you just from, I call it from memory.
Yeah.
You know, but there are some things I think that players can address in their address, in their setup, and getting themselves to have a chance. I think most bunker shots and or chip pitch lob shots, mm-hmm. I'll call them, really recovery shots. It's not the front of the green chip and putt with the putter. That's an easier shot, and there's not a, we're talking about a bunker shot, a lip. You got to carry it 3 or 4 feet out there, and you've got, you know, 25 feet. How do you gauge it? You don't hit these shots very much.
Right.
So the first thing I want to talk about is really how you set up to the ball. This is the one thing about the bunker shot that's very different than the most chip shots that you're going to play. Is getting yourself in the right position.
And before you... I let you go on. This is part of the reason why I'm so terrible in bunkers. Because I do not have a consistent place to start in my setup for bunker shots. Mm-hmm. I have zero confidence when I walk into the bunker.
You're taking a different approach every time.
Every time.
Right.
And then my thought is, how could I not know how to do this after 30 years? But anyway.
So I'll give the listeners a couple, three basic things I think they should do. The first is, when you set into the bunker, the one thing that most players don't do properly is get a good set of footing. They don't get themselves set in. They kind of stand in the bunker. You've got to get below the surface with your setup, because this is going to allow your club.
How far below the surface?
You know, it's probably somewhere between a half inch and but you got to get your footing,
move your feet around, and that
drops you a little bit lower. So what's that done? That's going to allow that club to get some entry into the sand. Most people miss bunker shots because they don't hit the sand first. They hit the ball.
Yes, that would be correct.
The ball first, and greenside bunker shots, even up to 20 or 30 yards from the green, you better be hitting sand.
Yeah.
Okay. You better be hitting sand and letting the club enter the sand and displace the sand and make the ball come out.
That's the big thing.
It's the only shot in golf you want to miss, the ball.
What gets the ball out is the sand throwing it out.
It's explosion, as it's called. So that first is get your footing, get some feet. Secondarily, where do you position your weight and the golf ball in your stance? For most bunker shots, I'm not talking about a downhill.
For most bunker shots,
you need to position your weight with about 60% of it on your lead side, or for most of us, our left side.
Right.
Get that weight there and hold it there. This is no time to be shifting your weight backwards in a bunker
Perry
shot.
Perry says, looking directly at me, because that's what I do.
This is a common fault of most players. They swing the golf club and they make this little weight shift. Well, typically what happens when you do that, when you move from a 60-40 setup and go 50-50, or even maybe 55-45, and you're really moving some weight. Now, on a full, maybe a 30-40 yard bunker side, yes, you've got
different.
This is green side.
Got
to get it out in the bunker, get on the green.
Right.
Also, when you do that, when you shift weight, it makes your club flat, shallow out. So it's more like a fairway shot.
Right.
That's what happens when you're not taking. You don't want to hit behind the ball on a fairway shot, right?
We want to
strike the ball first.
Yes.
So what happens if you do that? You get too much weight behind the ball, and then
you get a bladed ball that goes 50 yards over the green.
And you've got too much momentum. And when you come into it, the club it's not steep enough to come into the sand. And the club has bounce, and it does what it's supposed to do. It kind of deflects off the sand and right into the ball.
Into the back of your ball.
Yeah.
Right.
Or if you're not shifting your weight forward enough, it gets stuck, and you hit too far behind it, and the ball goes right in front of you 2 feet.
Right.
Okay. So by holding your weight position and keeping it left and also positioning the golf ball in the left portion of your stance.
Okay.
Because if you position it left, again, on a pretty standard bunker shot, it will allow that club to come in behind the ball because the bottoming out of your arc should be behind the ball.
Right.
Okay, but if you move the ball back too far middle, and certainly don't play it off your back foot unless you're trying to chop down on it to, you know, like an explosion shot to get it out.
Right.
Again, those are specialty shots that we get into. This is your basic shot. The goal is to get it out in one swing.
Right.
And by keeping your weight on your left side and the ball slightly forward of center, and in some cases even more so, you get your shift and shift into your left side, into the left leg, to where your finish has got 80% of your weight on your left side.
Right.
So all you're doing is really just swinging the club up with your arms, getting it in a position to create the downward swing, and then that's when the momentum and the weight shift would occur to get you into your finish. So the way to approach it is get set in the sand, get your footing. You've got to have some footing, because if you're on top of it and you go to push off from the right side, your foot will slide.
Yes.
It'll give way.
I've done that too.
Okay.
A million times.
So get enough footing, and I say a half inch is probably, but again, sand consistency could affect that.
Right.
Secondly, by accelerating through the shot and keeping your weight on your left side, and then finishing with more weight on your left side, you're going to find yourself having enough speed to get through the sand and create the lift that the sand
and
is going to cause.
You've played with me. That's a big part of my problem is I tend to decelerate.
That's
not only in the sand.
Well, the sand slows you down.
There's that too. You need more speed. You need speed.
And the last little tip I'll give you is use a sand wedge. Use a club with enough bounce. Use a 54, 56 degree. Notice a lot of clubs will have a number on the bottom that says 10. 12.
Yes.
That's the amount of degrees of bounce. Okay. The higher the number, the better. We make our smart soles. It's got 16. It's the ultimate. We used to have a club called the Sure Out from Hogan. We used to have a very wide sole. Yeah. Those are clubs that are very effective in the bunker to help explode the sand. Specialty club. Some players use 60. Unless you're playing a lot of golf, I think that's a very risky loft.
Right.
But the one thing you do when you take a wedge and you open it up, and you make the club face open, there's times to do that.
Right.
But I'm talking about your 56 degrees aloft. It should be pretty square. If you want to turn your club face open, do it before you get in this. You know, before you get in your stance, and you literally the grip will be open, and you'll grip it with the club face open. Don't get there and try to twist your hands, because if you do that, you move your hands
moving everything,
and it's not. Turn it close, and then that adds bounce and it adds loft. So your 56-10 becomes a 58-12. It's 1-to-1. So if you open
a
couple degrees,
basically.
It's versatile. And sometimes you need more loft because the pin's close and the lip's high.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't need as much loft
because
the pin's further from you. Don't open the club face up. Just keep it square. Or if you're a player who has a 56 and a 52, maybe use the 52 and open it a little bit to help the longer bunker shot.
Which might turn it into a 54.
But all this... Right. That's just a choice based on the shots in front of you, but the shot is still the same.
Okay,
just change the club. It that's why practice is important, because if you do it a few times or 15 or 20 minutes, you're not afraid of it because you've done it a few.
A little bit more confidence. Maybe I'll try that.
Practice doesn't make perfect. It makes players more comfortable with it, with the chance
which
to hit that
I
shot.
Which I have to do, which I may do today, as a matter of fact.
Well, it's always a good thing. 15 minutes. You know, and you can do it. You know, if you don't have a bunker, you can actually use high grass around the green or the pitching green, and you've pretended the same way. You actually use the club to enter the turf and let it slide across through the grass. That's the bounce that does that. So it's important to you can practice the same shot. That's a lob shot.
Yes.
It just doesn't have sand, but it does have plenty of
the same
resistance with the high grass. So give that a try, and hopefully when you try it, you'll find yourself not decelerating and getting comfortable with releasing the club through the sand or the condition.
Can we play golf sometime together?
I would love to.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Good luck with that. Thank you, Perry.
Work on your game, and I'll work on mine, and we'll
meet in the middle.
Exactly.
See you.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their 5 public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
Welcome back. Backspin Golf. And here we go again. My blessing every week is to talk to people that I'm very fond of, a lot of them. Some of them not so much, but they're great guests. But this guest, I'm very fond of. He's brilliant in his field. I mean, I'm looking at all his accomplishments here. There are too many. Here's one of my favorites, the Metropolitan PGA Teacher of the Year. And that means the pictures that he has shown me of him working with my idol, Seve, is enough for me. If he never did anything else, but he has. I mean, he's a top PGA Teacher of the Year. He's in Golf Tips Magazine, top 25 instructor. He's just one of the best in the world. And he's my buddy, Tom Patry, and he's getting ready for a big move. Hi, Tom.
Matthew, my man. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Now, the last time we spoke on the show was in the beginning of this ridiculous wraparound season and whatever it is. But you're down there in Naples, Florida, but you're getting ready for a huge move for this summer. You're still going to be in Florida during the winters, is that right?
That's correct, Matthew. Naples is home. This is our home,
right?
And I'll be here in November through May each winter. But I am on the road tomorrow morning.
Going to some place where I can just get in the car and be there in about 3 hours. You're going to be in Indiana.
I am. I'm going to a place called Fishers, Indiana, the Hawthorns Golf and Country Club, about 15 miles north of the city. And I'm looking forward to finally face-to-facing you on the first tee as long as I get the right number of shots.
Yeah, you said that to me once before, and this I can't really say what I want to on the air about that, but somehow it doesn't compute that you're the PGA Teacher of the Year and you're getting shots from me. That doesn't compute.
It's called bank account.
Ah, okay. Well, you got the wrong guy. It's been great talking to you. there's also your Twitter account is so fantastic. It's at Tom Patry, Patri. There's a picture, I was looking at it this morning, of you as you get ready to depart Naples for the Hawthorns with a sign that you say you had for the very first day and lessons you started giving at TPGS, which is Tom Patry Golf Schools, and you're holding this with some of the people that you've worked with. It's pretty amazing.
Well, yeah, it's funny. You know, so many people, Matt, the thing that I'm blessed with is, and I think it's one of the greatest things in the world, is loyalty. So, I mean, so many people came out to say goodbye and stop by. A few people stopped by, take a picture at the sign.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people just have been with me. Some of those people have been with me, you know, 20 years, 25 years. And it's the loyalty that really, you know, kind of makes you feel good about what you're doing.
Well, yeah, and, you know, there's a reason for that. And I'm not going to get all sappy here. I have a question for you.
Okay.
It's been bothering me, and it bothers a lot of people. And this is just, I'm just going to jump around with you here. I've been playing for approximately 30, I don't know, 32 years, 33 years, something like that. I still, after all this time, don't know how to hit a bunker shot, a greenside bunker shot. Yeah, this is why I need to come to the Hawthorns and actually stand with you. And it, because if you can fix, I only have two or three things that I need to work on, really, because I'm pretty proficient at most everything. But
okay.
if I can, oh, wait, no, forget it. You'll ask for shots. If I can just get these, like, sand bunker shots, greenside bunker shots, if I can get that part of my game down, I'm going to be like a plus four or something. I mean.
Well, then I definitely get shots then.
Yeah, if I get to, I'll make you a deal. If I get to plus four, I'll give you shots. How's that?
deal.
Okay. Can you just tell me, you know, briefly, is there anything I can be, like, I'm going to play Sunday. When I get in, I very rarely hit it in a bunker, but when I do, what should I be looking for? Is it set up? Is it, I know it's a combination, but just give me a quick one of your tips about bunker play.
Let me do two things. Let me do one thing as a coach and one thing as a teacher.
Okay.
So last week, how many hours did you stand in the practice bunker?
You know, I'm just going to say something here.
Just answer the question.
Oh.
Answer the question.
Zero.
How many? Zero. Okay, good. So we pretty much solved the problem. You know, redundancy is the mother of learning. So
yes.
First of all. Here's the deal as a coach. A bunker shot is a feel shot, just like a 30-foot lag putt is a feel shot.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you know what you're trying to feel through repetitions, you get in there. You know, and the problem with the bunker shot, Matthew, is you might get in one bunker tomorrow, and you might not be in another bunker for three rounds, and then you might be in five bunkers and not be in a bunker for five rounds.
Right.
So if you don't hit those shots every week, you don't have a feel for those shots. So for example, I hit at least 100 bunker shots a week. That's kind of my goal every week. Sometime during the week, maybe in groups of 20 or 30 or groups of 10, I hit 100 bunker shots a week, no matter what happens. So, and by the way, that came from your friend, Sevi. He said, it's a feel shot. You've got to do it on a regular basis or you'll lose feel for the shot. Mm. That came right from him. So you'll like that.
I got
but
chills.
Here's the next thing. When you and I were growing up playing golf 30 years ago, the highest lofted club you could buy was a 56-degree wedge.
Right.
The bounce configuration back then was not very detailed. Things today that Bob Volke has done with wedges and Roger Cleveland have done with wedges, the equipment we have in our hands now is so much better. Okay? So the first thing that people don't understand is the bounce of the club is your friend. Too many people play golf with the club face too square, the leading edge digs, they hit it fat. They get scared of hitting a fat shot. Then they pull out of their posture, hit a skull, and now they're playing ping pong. Fat,
yeah.
Thin, fat, thin, fat, thin. So the first thing you've got to understand is that if you open the blade a little bit, it's not only are you adding loft, but you're employing the bounce of the club. And the bounce of the club is going to receive the bunker and the sand the right way and make things easier. Next thing is, with 58 and 60 and 60-plus degree clubs, okay, we used to have to, with a 56-degree club, open the face tremendously, cut across the ball, set our wrists early, do all sorts of things. If you get in a bunker right now and you address a point an inch or two behind the golf ball, you have the face moderately open, and you make a standard hit shot swing and don't do anything fancy, you'll hit the golf ball on the putting surface.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
We have to simplify. We've made this way too complicated for people. Way, way too complicated. It's not that complicated.
I think that's a big part of my problem is, first of all, A, I don't practice. B, when I do get in there, because I've holed out from bunkers. I know I can do it.
But
the confidence part of it, as you say, and as Sevi said, if you don't repeat it, you have no sense of the feel. And what I was going to say to you before is you're just like my brother, Mitchie, my older brother. Like, I'll call him and I'll say, if I knew how to chip, I would have shot 75 today. And he'll say, when was the last time you took 100 balls and chipped with them? It's the same thing as my brother says. And it triggers resentment. And me.
as soon as it happens up with me, call Mitch and say thank you.
Yeah, whatever. That ain't happening. All right, I want to get back to where you're going at the Hawthorns, and tell people how. I know I get emails from you and on Twitter. I want everybody I know that's within a 3-hour drive from where you're going to be, like me, how we can get up there and book lessons. And I want to get this thing rolling with you, because they have no idea how lucky they are that they're going to have you in their midst.
Thanks, Doc. That's very nice. That's kind of you say that. Well, I'm going to be there starting. I start teaching the 7th in a couple of days, and they can get me by either texting me at 239-404-7790.
Okay.
Get me by emailing me at tpatry@mindspring.com. They can get me by just calling the shop at the Hawthorns in Fishers, Indiana. They can get me through my website at tompatry.com. You know, so there's a lot of the things they can get to me.
Okay. And give me, in the couple minutes we have left, just give me a rundown of when you're going to meet a whole bunch of new people. In Naples, you have people that have been coming to you for a while. And when somebody new comes to you, let's say I want to start taking lessons from you, how do you start off? You would watch me just pulverize about 20 balls and go, I have nothing to teach you? Is that how it works?
That probably wouldn't work with you that way. But let's say so basically, Matt, the first hour we spend together is an evaluation of where you are and where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. I want to watch you some golf shots. I want to pick your brain about what's rolling around in your brain previous to me encountering you. I want to know what your thoughts are, where you're trying to go with your golf game. I mean, you know, what's your goal? Are you trying to go, you know, from a 16 handicap to a 9 handicap? Is that realistic?
Right.
How much time do you have to spend on your golf game? I want to know a lot about you and what your journey has been up to the point we've met. And while we're talking, you're hitting some shots, and I'm kind of evaluating your wonderful golf swing and your incredible athleticism, and probably taking some film, you know, maybe taking some TrackMan readings, doing mm-hmm. a few things, and trying to figure out, you know, exactly what's going on with your golf game and your golf body and your golf club. And then we have a starting point. And with you, I'd have nowhere to go, because it'd probably be so awesome, I really wouldn't have anything to do with you.
Yeah.
You know, at all.
Yeah, I realize that.
I understand.
I'll just come up and hang out with you. Since there's nothing you can teach me, I'll just come hang.
Well, I mean, you know, there are people I can help, but you are, you know, an exclusive case.
Yes.
So it'd be different.
Thank you so much.
I understand.
Yeah.
I recognize talent when I see it. I got it.
Well,
I understand.
There's Sevy and me, and then there's everybody else.
Yeah. Everybody else.
That's blasphemy, the words that just came out of my mouth. I'm just saying.
He's rolling over in his grave right now, my friend.
Oh, I'm kidding, Sevy. I'm kidding. All right. I can't tell you how excited I am that you're going to be so close. And I will be up there before you know it. Hop in the car and I'm up there. And
here's what we're going to do. The first time you come up, you know, let me know. Give me some date choices. We're going to block an afternoon and hit a few balls. And we're going to go play some golf together.
Oh, all right. Now I'm nervous. Now I'm all right. I'll tell you what I'm going to do later on today. I'm going to go hit 100 shots from a bunker.
That'd be nice. That'd be a good start.
Hey, Kim, did you hear
I need you to. I need you to text me. Seriously, man, I need you to text me a couple of date options so I can get something on the book. Okay.
All right. I promise. Drive safely, and I'll talk to you real soon. You're the absolute greatest.
You're the best. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Okay. See ya.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
Okay. Backspin Golf. What a way for us to wrap up this episode. I just, every time I get to speak with him on the subject of golf, not on any other subject, because he'll pull that older brother stuff with me, but on the subject of golf, I enjoy talking to him. My brother Mitchie, who is, among many things, the co-host of Talking Golf Getaways, the associate editor of Golf Trip Experts, and we're going to talk about this. He plays hickories. Everybody should know that, which very few people can do. And do as well as he does. And it says here on his Twitter account, at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E, opinions mine. I don't believe that part because he's been trying to force his opinion on me since we were, well, since before we were born. Hi, Mitchie.
What a lovely introduction.
That's pretty, nobody else gets that introduction, I can tell you that.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah.
Otherwise, for as long as we've been alive, there's something we've been missing.
Yes. So. Oh, there's a lot we've been missing since we've been alive, I think. But how are you doing down there in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina?
I'm doing great. I am actually sitting on my back deck. It's a beautiful day. Gentle breeze blowing. The humidity hasn't hit yet.
So
it's absolutely gorgeous.
And Louie's there with you.
Louie's here with me, taking care of me while my wife, my lovely wife Ava, is out in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doing some work. And
yeah.
So Louie mm-hmm. and I have been hanging a lot lately. And I'm having a dog of a time.
All right.
Which is a good thing.
No, it's a great thing. There are a few things. And if my listeners knew Louie, they would totally get what my nephew, Louie, what you're talking about. All right. Here, I want to start with golftripx.com, the website, and that's the letter X, not EX, the letter X, golftripx.com, which is absolutely fantastic. Tell us briefly about the concept of this website and then maybe a couple of things that are up there now.
Well, I'll try to kind of keep this quick. Like you said, my podcast partner, Darren Bunch, who I've been working with for years. Darren and I had been talking about various other sites and how people were doing golf and travel and who they were going after. And after a long history of talking about golf getaways together and doing I would do my own podcast that Darren produced.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to come up with our own Talking Golf Getaways podcast, and that led to, through our friendship with Ryan Ballingy, who you've had on the show and know.
Yes, our buddy Ryan. Yeah.
Right. And we decided to partner up with Ryan. It started as a part of Golf News Net, but we realized that we had a very specific audience that was interested in just golf and travel,
mm-hmm.
and we weren't actually maximizing that on Golf News Net because there's so much other great content. So we spun that off to golftripx.com, which is solely dedicated to golf and travel and everything associated with it. And the main thrust is the big destinations, Bandon and Streamsong and Sand Valley and Cabot, and those kinds of places have complete representation.
Yes.
You know, they get their due. They get incredible publicity through Golf Channel and Golf Advisor and all that stuff. But we realize that there's 90% of destinations around the country and the world are underrepresented and don't have the kind of money to pay for that exposure. So what we strive to do is to bring to people who go to the site, people listen to the podcast, information about all the great places around the country that may be within driving distance of people that they don't really know about, you know, that haven't been publicized.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the thrust. As I said, it's Darren and I, and then Brian Orr, who's our golf photographer extraordinaire, drink. We always have to say drink.
Oh, you have to say drink?
We say that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tradition. I'm not going to do that because it's only 11 in the morning here.
Oh, yeah, you've never done that before. Yeah, but go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Brian, who's an unbelievable world-class photographer.
Yes, he is.
He contributes that way. And then Eric Hart, who has traveled the world playing golf more than almost anybody I know, literally. And Eric is a fantastic writer. Darren is a fantastic writer. Ryan is a great writer. So we have content on the site from all of them. I occasionally drop a piece of writing in there, but it's so painful for me to do it. I try to stay away from it.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I'll just say this, and I don't think I've ever said this to you. Your writing is fantastic, okay? And that's the last time I'll say it. But don't shortchange yourself here, all right?
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
Let's just say it's a more painful process for me to do
okay.
it.
Okay, all right, so, okay.
But anyway, the stuff that's up now is a great example of it. because Ryan has written two recent pieces, one on Mission Inn outside of Orlando and one on Wilshire Country Club in L.A., which you and I know well.
Yes.
Where the LPGA played last week. That are great. Darren did an unbelievable piece on a trip to Scotland he took about blind golf shots.
Yeah.
That goes much deeper than that. It's a really fantastic piece. And Eric is a superstar. And the only way I'll tell you quickly what's on the site now and you get an idea. He has put together, we're calling it the short list. And it's a list of great short courses. They can be par threes. They can be nine holes or 12 mm-hmm. or 18, as long as they're off. They're not regulation 18-hole golf courses. He's put together a list of every state and the short courses in
wow.
those states. And it is mind-boggling.
Wow.
We just put up the third installment, and he goes alphabetically through the states, and it's written beautifully. It's funny. It's a great resource for people to find these short, fun courses near them. He also is doing a series on Alabama. We've partnered with Alabama Golf, and he's done amazing work, not just about the RTJ Trail, which a lot of people know about, but all kinds of information about golf in Alabama and what makes it great. And he's exploding. It's like this. He writes more than anybody I know, and this has given him a wonderful outlet. So a really talented guy, and that's the basic team. We have guest articles from different people. I'm fully expecting you to write one of these days.
Oh, yeah, because I'm such a good writer.
Don't shortchange yourself.
See what I mean, Kim? He throws stuff back at me. Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, the site is full of all that kind of stuff. Not to mention, we're approaching our 150th Talking Golf Getaways podcast.
What?
Yep, and you can access all of them on golftripx.com. And I have to say, we've had an incredible run of fantastic guests.
Yeah.
You know what it's like to have these kinds of people on with you, and mm-hmm. we're incredibly grateful that we've had the people we've had on.
So, you know, I'm actually, while we were talking through the beauty of technology, I'm actually looking at golftripx.com I wanted to just check Eric's recommendation in Kentucky.
Right.
Where we happen to be. And it's the East Nine at Quail Chase. It's on McNeely Lake in Louisville. And you're right. I'm just going through all these states, and this is mm-hmm. amazing. This
and
is
what's
amazing.
Cool is it, what's cool is it's not just a list. The writing about
yeah.
it, he did months of research. He's been to a ton of these places, but he did months of research connecting with people to find out about all these kind of hidden
yeah.
short courses. Some of them are well known, and some of them, maybe like the one you just mentioned in Louisville, people might not know about.
Here, this,
and,
this
he's
is,
really done a great job.
This is really good. He's in, here's the Illinois one. And he says, by the way, the Chicago suburbs have one of the coolest but worst managed mini golf courses in all of America.
Yeah.
I was essentially yeah. turned away with my 3-year-old daughter because they wanted full fare for her. She's three. Yeah. She wasn't playing. Anyway.
Yeah, he does a lot of stuff like that.
Well, that's what you want. I mean, it's not yeah. only the great things about places, but, you know, be careful of this stuff. I mean, that's
yep.
fantastic. Now,
yep.
we got about, I don't know, 3.5 minutes left.
Okay.
And in that, what I wanted to do was tell people while I have you on the phone, question you about some of the things you did to me when we were children. But I'll save that.
Okay, I have 3.5 minutes. Let's get to it.
No, I'll save that for another time.
I didn't mean that. I meant let's get to Sweetens Cove.
Okay, yeah. Now, I'm glad you brought that up. So, tell us about what's happening at Sweetens Cove. Just tell us.
Well, for people who don't know Sweetens Cove, shame on you, first of all.
It's
a nine-hole track.
Yeah.
It's a nine-hole track pretty near Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yeah, close to us.
Which I looked up and is only 4.5-hour drive from where you guys are in Lexington.
Okay, thank
you. August 23rd and 4th. We are having a Golf Trip Experts 2-day event at Sweetens Cove. Now, people say nine-hole golf course, really? Well, here's how good a golf course this is. Rob Collins, who designed it, and his partner Tad King of King Collins Golf, took a flat piece of land and completely redid it to the point where this nine-hole track by Golf Week was just rated 50th in the country as a public course you can play of all courses, a nine-hole course ahead of Valhalla.
Yeah.
Ahead of, how's this? Ahead of Quail Hollow.
Hello.
Where the PGA Tour
this weekend, yeah.
This week. Yeah. Ahead of that on this list by Golf Week, not by me.
I actually read the whole thing about Rob Collins. That whole article. Where did I see that? Because I got it from
New York
you.
Times, Dylan DeChair, who's a great writer, and that's what sparked it in 2017. It came out in the New York Times.
Right. And the
so
whole
people
thing
can find
is...
that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. But let me just add to this. The course itself is mind-boggling, but August 23rd, 24th,
yes.
We have 2 days to ourselves. We have taken over the golf course. We've rented it for 2 days. We are almost full. I think we have 10 slots left, and it's going to be mind-boggling fun. We have the course. We can play it as many different times, as many different ways. We're going to have contests, all kinds of fun, nighttime stuff. You're going to be there. So for your listeners, if you want a chance to come over and get to Matt and share your opinions on Backspin Golf,
I assume we'll
be 100%.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
You'll have a chance to do that. It's $350 for 2 days of nonstop golf fun.
And fun.
Prizes, yeah. Food and beverage. A couple of the prizes quickly. Overnight stay in golf at Tobacco Road, North Carolina, staying at the Stewart Cabin.
Mm.
And down here in Myrtle Beach, two nights, and golf on Caledonia and True Blue, all of those great Mike Strands courses. So if you go to golftripx.com, your listeners, they'll see it right there on the home page. It's the Sweetens Cove Shootout. And like I said, if they want to get in, they should do it fairly quickly because we're almost full.
I'll keep talking about it, and just so you know, by August 23rd, because I started early, I'm already well into my golf routine for the season. I'm razor sharp already, and by August 23rd, it's going to be pretty hard to handle me in any way at Sweetens Cove. I'm just letting you know.
All right. Well, I assume that anyway, but I guess your listeners need to know that.
Yeah. They do.
Also, if people want to get a sense of what Sweetens is about, we have two podcasts up on Falcon Golf Getaways with Rob Collins.
Yeah.
And he is one of the most amazing, articulate, passionate guys you'll ever listen to. And you'll want to get in your car and drive to Sweetens.
He is truly an amazing human being. I mean, I listened to one of them and I read the other stuff and he's pretty amazing. All right. Yeah. I'm out of time. With you.
Okay.
I'm very sorry because I could listen to you, for hours, which I've been forced to do many times.
Matthew Lawrence, the master of hyperbole.
Yes. That's and proud of it. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, man. Thanks.
Thanks, dude.
As always.
See you.
Bye.
Bye. All right. I can say this now because once he'll listen, Kim, to what we just did, and then as soon as I say goodbye, he'll stop listening because he just wants to hear him talk about himself. I have been blessed for these many years in my life that he's my brother. I'll have a sap moment here if I don't get off real quickly here. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening again. Thanks to two incredible guests, Tom Patry, Mitch Lawrence, and, of course, the other incredible guest every week, Perry French. Thank you to French Lick Resort. I'll be going up there soon. Incredible. Edwin Watts Golf. Incredible. Great stuff going on over there. Carol and Stone Insurance Services, peeps. Give them a call. They'll give you 5 quotes on every single piece of insurance you have and get you the best insurance, and they're amazing people. They're just great to deal with. And finally, Lexington Parks and Rec. The incredible Justin Molnix, Curtis Mitchell, all the people, and my home course, Kearney Hill, for our great golf courses around here. We'll see you next week on Backspin Golf, ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.